Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Greetings in Jesus' name. We have a strong rock that will take us all the way to the end. Appreciate those songs. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 16. I would say is a kind of a text verse for what I'm going to be sharing about this morning. My topic that was given is maintaining holiness in the ever-changing world of technology and AI. And my prayer, my burden this morning is I can share a little bit, get our hearts and minds stirring, and then we have a good discussion. And I think it's one of those things that that we look at, there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of questions. What will the future hold with all that? And I think it's important for us. I think it's a subject that probably needs to be talked about every year here for a while. So let's read these couple of verses and then we'll pray. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, which I think is speaking of, we have to get ready for something. Gird up the loins of your mind. We can't just relax and sit back. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It talks about hope, that to the end. Like it's not just for today, but there's something that we are looking to Jesus all the way to the end. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. We can't just go back and live our life, make our decisions how we used to. It's different now. We can't go back into those former lusts. But as he which has called you is holy, Jesus is the one that called us, God is the one that calling. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Every part of our life, not just the way we talk, but every part of our life, to be holy. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if we want to be connected to God, we have to be holy. Why don't we rise and we'll pray. Father in heaven, we call upon you in the name of Jesus this morning. We're so thankful that you're here in our midst, in our presence. Lord, it's our desire to be holy in the middle of a world that is going after lusts, desires of the flesh and of the mind. And Lord, you've called us to be holy and to be set apart for you. And I just pray that you would keep us. Keep us by your grace. Give us strength and courage to be girding up our minds and to press into your calling for us. I pray that you would just guide the things that I share this morning, guide the conversation. Lord, this is a topic that is very, very important. It's a big one. It's something new that we're facing in a way. The world is changing to ways that it never has been before quite, but your principles are eternal, and we ask that you would help us to grab a hold of your principles and to walk with you and to be holy. Help us as leaders in our church to guide our congregations on this issue.
Right.
We commit this time that we have into your hand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So when you think of holiness, I don't know what comes to your mind, but I think just a very simple way of thinking about it is something being holy is it's set apart. It's a separation from something to something else. It's a separation, it's holiness, and we're set apart for God. So when we think of this principle, how can we be set aside for God in a world where technology is pushing in on every side of us. You know, it used to be when the computers first came around that, you know, it was the computer was far away, and then it started, you know, being in our offices, in our homes, and then we have it in our cell phones, and everywhere it seems that we encounter technology today. And it, as we look at the future, it seems it's only going to accelerate. So how are we going to be holy? So I plan to just talk just a little bit about AI, give some principles, and then we'll have a discussion, question and answer discussion. How can we navigate this? So first of all, I'd say AI is not entirely new. It's been around for a long time. How many of you remember 30 years ago you had Microsoft Office and a little Clippy would pop up and it would be an office assistant? Some of us that remember that. That was a very, very primitive form of AI. So there's a sense where AI has been around for a long time. But what really is coming on now, like what is the real difference? So if we look at just some of the metrics of computing power that is available now. So in 1996, when we had that little Clippy running on our computer, there's a measurement of computing speed. It's called FLOPS, floating point operations per second, and it calculates how many equations it can solve in 1 second. So in 97, it could do, if you write this number down, it's 0.0000. There are 7 zeros. 2 is at the end. Teraflops that it could process back then, all right? So it's a decimal, 7 zeros, then a 2. What AI is running on today is 5 to 10 million teraflops, TFLOPS. So that's a factor of 350 trillion times faster than what we had 30 years ago. So that's the difference. It's really the computing power is the difference. You know, back then we had maybe 32 megabytes running on our computer. Now, you know, the RAM on these AI data centers maybe 80 million gigabytes. That's 2.5 billion times more RAM than we had back then. You know, my computer in my office ran on maybe 150 watts of electricity. What they're running now is 1.9 billion watts, 12.6 million times more. So what we're seeing is really it was slow and now it's fast. And we think of that principle. The more power that something has, the more danger. If you have a little toy truck at home, how much dirt can you haul on it? You know, just a little bit. Now if you think of a big dump truck, how much can that haul? Okay. Now if you think of the danger factor, okay, what can this little dump truck, how can it hurt me? Trip over it. Okay. So now think of a big dump truck. How much can that thing hurt me? So that principle of the more that something can do, the more ability, the more, you know, the more RAM this has, the faster it runs, the more power, the more potential for for danger. So why is AI coming up as a big red flag now? Of how? Because of the power of it has. You know, yeah, that little office clippy back in 1997 could potentially maybe do some, I don't know, maybe not have the best influence, especially not on a, you know, three-year-old. But it would give you suggestions on how to use some of the shortcuts on Office, what different buttons did, and so it's a very primitive Office assistant. Like it basically they made Microsoft Office, and then they had to teach people how to use it. And so this little Office assistant would pop up and try to tell them how to use it. Like if it figured out you were trying to write an email, it would give some suggestions on how to do that. So then also with the amount of data that it's processing, like in 1997, a typical hard drive had maybe 2 to 4 gigabytes of data. Today, when they make these big data centers to train AI, they're feeding it quadrillions of words of text, code, and images simultaneously. Like the amount of data that's being fed into this, they're literally trying to feed all the information into the world into these computers. Just a good picture image of how it's changed the speed of what can happen. In 1997, you know, a computer traveled maybe the speed of an ant crawling across the sidewalk. Today, the data centers powering, say, ChatGPT, it's the equivalent of something crossing from the known universe from one end to the other in 1 second. Like it was so slow and now it's so fast. That's a picture of it. So again, just power equals danger. Another thing to think of this is, you know, we're familiar with the Industrial Revolution, where a lot of, say, the manual labor, you know, was done by people, and a lot of it changed into machines. We could say that the Industrial Revolution came for our muscles. Now, you know, we still have a lot of hard workers, but, you know, rather than shoveling by hand, you're now on a backhoe, or a dozer or whatever. But AI, the AI revolution is coming for our brains and our mind. So they're trying to automate the things that we're now using our brains for. So on one hand, it's a machine that allows us to do things we weren't able to do before, but there's a danger with that also. That it could automate the things that our brains are made for, and now it's, rather than within our control, under the control of the Holy Spirit, we're outsourcing thinking. That's a danger, that we outsource thinking. So how does AI actually work? It finds patterns in massive amounts of data. It uses math and code. It's not some mystical creature in a computer somewhere doing all this thing. It's all math and code. The thing about it is that it's It's just trying to find what is the most likely answer to a problem. So if you ask it, you know, a question, it will, because it's so fast, it can analyze all that data and can come up with the most likely solution for whatever you're asking. So it seems like it's smart, it can think, but it actually can't. It's just all math and equations. But with that, you think of, you know, all the information that's in the world, and you try to pull truth out of that. Does that sound like a good idea? You know, we are here, our little fellowships, but we want truth. We see all the information in the world, and we pull from that to try to see what is the most likely solution to our problem. It sounds kind of dangerous when it comes to spiritual things. So how do we today, you think of, you know, from us from now until next year before we potentially talk about again, how are we encountering AI? Now, you know, we're all from different fellowships and there's different, I hope you're talking about it, at least up to date, make sure that things aren't going off the rails in your church with it. But there's going to be some variance in how we encounter AI. But, you know, it's very simple. If you go on the internet, go to Google, and you search for something, AI is going to pop up. Like if you have a computer running Microsoft Pilot will be there. You can use it or you can not use it, but it'll pop up there. Buying products online is a new thing that's really coming on. Like traditionally you would Google something and it would give you a list of websites and you could go there and buy it. It's really, the next 5 years is going to change a lot, according to what they're saying. You more tell it what you want and it will decide what you want or what you need, and it can even complete the transaction for you. But rather than you being in control and you going through and finding it yourself, it will decide what you need. Which, you know, maybe for paper towels it might be all right. I don't know. But it will cause disruptions in the whole selling, buying and selling process because of that. It's like Amazon Alexa is one example. You know, you can tell Alexa, hey, I need so-and-so, and it will buy it and have it shipped to your house. You can use AI for creating different things, documents, signs, autocorrect for spelling, rephrasing things for grammar. There's lots of things that AI can do. Customer support when you call somewhere, or some places now you have to do an online chat and you're actually chatting with an AI assistant. You can use AI to get instructions on how to do things, how to repair things. Business software with automations. Those are some of the ways that probably some of us will bump into AI just within the next year. So what are some dangers with AI? One of the first ones that I think of is just simply, is it truthful or not? AI has a way of presenting information in a way that's very confident, convincing, that this is what it is. Most of the time there's no questions or hesitation. It's just, you know, it presents it. But is it actually truth? It's actually, AI is you'd say, is guessing on truth. It's It's trying to guess what is most likely by using code and equations and mathematics. Like it's trying to guess what is truth. Some stuff it may not be necessarily, completely, if I want to find out, something about an animal, if it's completely true or not may not necessarily shape where I'm going in life. But when you think of on the spiritual level, truth is of absolute importance. Just a little bit of deviation can take us in a very wrong way. So that's one danger of it. It has a way, like most of us have kind of a natural skepticism built into us. Someone says something and there's something in here that, okay, check it. And then AI seems to almost be undermining that a little bit, where it presents it in a way that almost takes that skepticism away for a lot of people. And you can just instantly find any answer you want and boom, that's the truth, whether it is or not. So that's one danger. There's also the thing that AI will unify thinking. They're seeing that already today a little bit. I remember in 2019 I was over in Saudi Arabia and we were, in a governor's house and, everything's very traditional. And I saw a six-year-old run around with a smartphone. And I thought to myself, in 20 years this place will be different because of a smartphone. Left unchecked, his thinking will be different than his dad's. And I think that's a danger of AI, where there's, and if you look at prophecy, the end times, it almost seems like people are going to be more together on thinking. Yeah. It almost seems that way. But AI will really accelerate that. So we think of ourselves and our congregations. Do we want to be unified with that? We have to be very careful. That influence, it can change thinking in very small ways, but it can just take it the wrong way. And then also just the idea of intellectual laziness. I think that's going to be a big problem. We see it even a little bit in, some of the children from the world. I work at a place where, we have a lot of people that come from places, and you can see even now with where they're at, this intellectual laziness. Yeah. And this will make it even worse. So we think of danger, there's the kind of a principle. Often we could say it's overstated. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's blown up into worst case scenarios. Often when we hear discussions about AI, you go all the way to the end and you hear worst case scenarios of, everybody walking around with a chip in their brain and AI is telling them what to do. So often it goes like that, and then after a while people start thinking, well, this isn't actually what it was presented to be. So maybe it's not as dangerous. And then people start maybe being around it, using it. But then after a little bit is when the harm actually happens. It's often in danger, like big red flag, and then, it actually didn't happen what was stated. And then after a while, you see here and there people suffer for it. And I think that's something that we need to just be real about. People in high-risk categories get negatively affected. And so we think of in our churches, who are people that are high risk for damage from AI? It might not always be the people we think.
Right.
But people who are isolated, lonely, hurting, adventuresome, people who resist authority, youth and struggling families, older singles. There can be people who are more susceptible to damage from AI, and I think we need to be aware of that. And you know, just chatting with AI just for the sake of companionship is very dangerous. But anyway, I need to close, and we'll have a time of discussion about it. Just one more thing, just about influence. I think we have to look at it in a lot of the same way we do any other bad influence. How do we navigate through it? You know, my next door neighbor might be a professing Christian who's not walking with the Lord and yet has a outward appearance. He's a bad influence on my life. But how do I relate with him? Do I ignore him because he's a bad influence? No, we have to know who we are. We have to know where they are. And then we know how to relate. And I think that's with AI too. We have to know who we are. We have to know who it is. And so we can relate and we can stay away from the snares of it. I don't think it's the type of thing, and maybe you can talk to this, that we can just totally say we won't have anything to do with it and we'll be good for the next 20 years. I don't think that approach is realistically, because we're going to be bumped into all over the place with it. Anyway, so let's hear some discussion on it. We have until 9:45 to have some discussion on it.